The All-American at the University of Alabama, 29 days away from the upcoming NFL draft. No doubt his name will be called very, very early. Landon Collins, welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
How you doing? Good.
So you're spending your time in T-Town. You just love this place, right?
Yes, sir. I always will love it, man. Yeah, home away from home.
Absolutely. Landon, sort of walk us through this process of preparing for the upcoming NFL draft.
It's long and grueling, I'll tell you that much. But it's a great experience because, I mean, you go through a lot of coaches, talk to a lot of people, meet a lot of new players that you never thought you'd meet. And it's a great experience.
Landon, I go back. How hard of a decision was it for you to either come back for one more year or go to the next level?
It's a difficult decision. Took me a while to think about it, talk to my coaches, talk to my parents. We went through it, went through all the cons and the goods and the bads of it, and we just made a decision that it was a good chance. Coach Saban said it was a good thing that I had first round picks around me. I mean, first round numbers around me, and so I just decided to go ahead and leave.
Landon Collins, when you go back and you take a look at your high school days, we all know the story, and I don't want you to rehash the story of how you made it to Tuscaloosa, but just talk about what Nick Saban did different to recruit you to the University of Alabama.
Nick Saban did just be him. He was came in. The coach that he coached me, he came in tough and said what he said and just straightforward with me and said that this is how it's going to be. You're not going to be a starter, but you could go into a starter. You're going to be playing freshman. If you play as a freshman on special teams, if you do the right things and continue showing me that I can put trust in you. So that's what I had to do.
What's it really like not just playing for Nick Saban? But, I mean, you're a guy that you couldn't run for Nick Saban. I mean, he's coaching your area, your position. I mean, offensive linemen, as he likes to say, they go down and do their things. You know, the waddle through the offensive lineman drills. What's it really like to play for Nick Saban but to also let him coach your individual position?
It's fantastic. He's a fantastic coach and, like, one of the best. And he knows what he's talking about. And As the season went on, as the game went on, as the years passed, I got just as smart and gathered the knowledge that he knows about the game. And when I did that, it was a fantastic feeling.
When I look at Nick Saban, help me out, okay? I've never played at the high level that you've played at. I mean, you're an All-American here. You know what it takes to win championships. But when I look at Nick Saban, I know it's all about the W's and winning championships, but Nick Saban seems to connect with his players a lot better than a lot of other coaches across the country. Am I right on that?
Yes, sir.
Is he that father figure that a lot of the players talk about, that they have that admiration to him as a father figure?
Yes, sir, because as a coach and as a man, he wants players to do their best on off the field because football don't last forever, and he wants us to get our education just like our parents do. That's why he went to school to get an education and play football, but to leave with an education as well. And he just stayed on top of us about that. We stayed on top of us about our grades, missing class and going to class. He acknowledges us about going to class and reward us for that. I mean, it's a father figure as a coach. And that's what we loved about him.
Landon, did you ever get the electronic door treatment at all?
When you walk in his office, he closed the door?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. We had our private conversations when I went up there. We talked about football, what I need to do off the field, what I need to do on the field, how I need to be a better leader, and stuff like that. I mean, it could be all type of stuff that we talked about.
Okay. I mean, not in a bad way, by no means. I could just imagine. I mean, Nick Saban's an intimidating individual the way that I see him from the media perspective. But, I mean, just seeing that electric button, when he mashes that button and that door closes, would be like, okay, where do I go from here?
Right. I mean, just doing that as an open mind, because you never know what coaches would be on what to talk about. I mean, it could be anything. It could be saying that you're doing a good job. It could be you're doing some bad stuff. Or, I mean, it could be anything. So you never know. You just don't want to go on that thing that's always bad, because he's not always going to talk to you about the bad situations, because most of the time he wants to reward us. So.
You were a leader on that football team. Does he challenge the guys like yourself that take that leadership role? I mean, does he demand more out of you than another player?
Demand, I mean, he wanted more out of us. No, definitely. He definitely demanded it. You know, we definitely gave it to him because that's what our team needed. They needed people to follow their heads. They had that leadership role to put the team on further than what they need to be.
Do we misread Nick Saban? I mean, like, from the media perspective, you know, I see this guy as just rough and tough. And, I mean, is there a compassionate side to Nick Saban?
Yes, sir. That definitely is. But not many people have seen it. You have to be, I think, real close to him. I'll go run his players to really see his compassionate side.
But, you know, but the players, and I know I've sort of asked you this question again, but the players that I talk to, I mean, they will walk through glass 3 feet deep to play for Nick Saban. I mean, you just don't get that automatically. I mean, you've had coaches that you've had in high school and growing up, and I've often tried to understand that connection, because it's not just one player. It's everybody I talk to. It's that they have this mentality that they will do anything for Nick Saban, and they will play for him. They'll play harder for him, and it's a unique, from my perspective, covering him since he arrived here in Tuscaloosa. It's fun to watch it from my side.
Definitely. I mean, because he'd give us the world. He'd do anything for us. You know, he put our neck out there. He put his neck out there for us, too. So, I mean, he does anything that he says he's going to do. And he promised our parents he'd take care of us, and that's what he does for us. So.
Let me ask you, this is an opinion-based question. Is Auburn or LSU a bigger rival?
Against Alabama, Auburn is the biggest rival. Against, for me, from Louisiana, LSU is my biggest rival.
Is that the same for Nick Saban? I know he spent time at LSU.
I don't know. I don't think Nick Saban's looking at it as a rival. It's just he wants a W.
All right. Going back, and this is not a question about the current situation at all, but when a team receive some adversity. When you go through, you know, some areas, maybe something didn't go perfectly. Does that bring the team together? I mean, what is the leadership responsibility when things don't go, you know, like you look back at the Ole Miss loss, or, you know, you look back at other losses throughout your playing days, or maybe it was something off the field. What is the leader's responsibility during those adverse situations?
To show the team that they're still strong, and that the person that got is being disciplined or not on the team, that they're still compassionate about that person and still willing to help that person no matter what, because we're still a team, we're still a brotherhood, we came here together, and we're going to always help each other no matter what, because, I mean, that's how you build a strong bond, that's how you win championships.
I want to go back just real quick. Younger players, give me a couple of defensive backs. I mean, you look at Nick Perry, Landon Collins. You look at the secondary. Those are going to be guys that are going to be hard to replace. Give me some younger guys in the secondary that could stand up and sort of fill that void of the departed players.
You got Eddie Jackson. He's going to step up. He's coming back strong from his knee injury. You have Maurice Smith. He's going to be strong, going to be playing both star and safety. Learning the whole defense, he played corner. So, I mean, he's about to learn the whole defense, so it's going to be easier to just switch it all over the place. You got Geno Smith, you got Jabril Washington, those two dominant safeties coming down. They can put a nice hit on you, and they can definitely cover. Then you have cornerback Bradley Shill, great quick cornerback, great speed, close down any receiver. You have Marlon Humphrey, great cornerback, cover any receiver since I was there. As a freshman, I can see he can cover anybody. That's for the D-line, I mean, that's for the secondary. I mean, it's going to be a fantastic secondary. A lot of people die on secondary when people leave. But I promise you, when we leave, they know they have big shoes to fill. They always stand up to it.
Give me a wide receiver that challenged the secondary in practice, you specifically, that maybe we don't know a lot about.
Right. This year, I would say, Robert Foster, and Chris Black.
Wow. All right. So you got us excited. Landon, we continue to wish you nothing but the best. We'll continue to follow your NFL days. What's the plan for the next couple of weeks? What's sort of the itinerary for Landon Collins?
Just continue training right now. Wait for the invitation. If I'm going to the draft or not. And just after that, I can go back to training. I mean, that's about it.
You already have plans for the NFL draft? You going to New York City?
Don't know yet. They got to wait for an invitation to see if I'm going.